President Trump has talked a lot about restricting illegal immigration, including yesterday at a rally with tens of thousands of Indian Americans in Houston. But the Trump administration has also been restricting legal immigration. And we're going to talk about that over the next few days. To start, we're joined by Muzaffer Chishti. He's an attorney and director of the Migration Policy Institute's office at New York University School of Law. Welcome to Here and Now.
So glad to be here.
So the Migration Policy Institute says there are important differences between President Trump's forceful rhetoric and what the administration is actually doing. What is the administration actually doing when it comes to legal immigration in this country?
Well, sort of the rhetoric first. I mean, the president sort of got elected on an election mandate, and part of his narrative during the campaign was that he thought we're admitting too many people and too many wrong kind of people. So the expectation was that he would support big measures to reduce legal immigration and to change the mix of people we let in. But against the rhetoric, what he realized that only Congress can change the total number of people admitted and what kind of people we admitted. So when you look at his own proposals, the only proposal that he has made so far was actually not to reduce legal immigration, was to keep legal immigration at the current levels, pretty close to 1 million people brought in as lawful permanent residents in the United States. What it did was to change the structure of the immigration streams and reduce the reliance on family unification, which is the cornerstone of immigration admissions today, and move that in favor of what he likes to call merit-based immigration, which is more people who are coming here on the basis of education or jobs.
And is that being put into practice already?
No, there's no legislation offered to implement that at all. On the other hand, there have been bills introduced by members of the Republican Party in the Senate, which would reduce legal immigration considerably. And those bills actually go counter to President's own proposals on legal immigration. So there are mixed signals here on what the president finally believes in what he wants to do. So this is true at the congressional legislative level. On the other hand, the executive, which he has complete control on, has a lot of control on how to process applications for legal immigration.
So how has the process changed so far?
So there are two or three things they have done in the process. One is they're taking longer to adjudicate almost every application, beginning with citizenship, which is very important for a number of reasons. A, because the more citizens you become, the more people can vote. And when you become a citizen, you can also sponsor other immigrants. So if you delay the process of citizenship, not only do you delay voting, but you also delay people's ability to sponsor other people. The second thing they have done is that in green card applications, where normally it would take just a quick glance of an immigration examiner, is that they're taking longer to adjudicate that. And in many cases, they are asking people to come for interviews, which in the past would just be done on paper.
So it just takes a lot longer.
It takes a long. So a lot of people call it slow walking. People would like to argue that what you can't do legislatively, they have done administratively just by slow walking the process.
And is that having the effect of making it so difficult that an immigrant somewhere says, well, you know what, I don't have time for this. I have to just pick somewhere else to go.
I think it's happening in clearly one category of immigrants, which is employment-based category where people come on the basis of a sponsorship of an employer. And it's particularly happening with two nationalities, Chinese and Indian immigrants. Our line in the queue is determined not only by the category you come from, but the country you come from. And the Indian and Chinese lines are backlogged so much that it's taken sometimes even 8 and 10 years for people to get their number. A number of those people in the line, and these are highly specialized professional people in the IT fields and engineering who just give up and then choose to go to Canada or Australia or Europe.
Something else that's been in the news recently involving legal immigration into the United States is the public charge rule. The Trump administration wants to make sure that new legal residents carry their own weight, or as Trump's acting director for citizenship and immigration services said, stand on their own 2 feet and not become a public charge. What effect will that have?
Exactly. So that's the other way of trying to reduce the number. This public charge requirement is the oldest provision in immigration law. It's an 1882 provision. But the definition of it, they have extended so much that it narrows the group of people who may be able to make it. So if you have used any benefit in the past, any member of your family has used a public benefit in the past, that will be held against you. And more importantly, they want to take a futuristic look at you. Is that how likely are you to be on the dole? Mm-hmm. And those discretions are given to an immigration or a consular officer, and they heavily weighed in favor of people with education and degrees and younger age as against people who may come from low-income families.
Another avenue for foreigners who want to move into the U.S. legally is to seek asylum. The administration has been trying to cut back on their ability to do that. It has shrunk the cap for refugees from 110,000 at the end of the Obama administration to 30,000 in the last fiscal year. When was it last that low?
No, it's exactly. I mean, the one number that the president has almost complete control on is how many people we allow to enter as refugees. Because it was given to the president in the past because refugee admissions are seen sort of consistent with foreign policy. And we have been the hallmark in the community of nations about the beacon of hope. And we have taken, you know, 500,000 people at the peak of our refugee admissions during Indochinese War. We have never seen this low. And they finally agreed to admit 30, and only about, I think, 15 or 16 were actually admitted. And that, again, is determined by the longer time they have been taking in screening applications.
One other area I want to ask you about is the diversity visa lottery. The president has promised to eliminate it, though that would need approval by Congress. What kind of an impact would that have?
You know, there are all kinds of people have different views on diversity visas. It's a provision of the law that is a recent one. It's actually introduced in 1990s. And it was oddly a reaction to members of Congress believing that our demographics in our immigration streams had so radically changed that European immigrants no longer had a foothold to come to the United States. In the last 30-odd years, the major beneficiaries of the diversity visas have been Irish initially, then people from Poland, and then increasingly African countries. In fact, the current stream of immigration from African countries almost hugely comes from diversity visas. So if we get rid of the diversity visas, you will have a big dent in the immigrants coming from African countries and from some European countries.
So what are the effects of all of this? And I want to start with the people who are in this country already living here, immigrants already living here. Maybe they're on a visa. Maybe they're trying to get their green card or studying. Are there effects of just the tone difference from the White House and some of these policy differences that have actually gone into effect?
Well, the tone obviously matters, and the tone was set by the president in his campaign, that we should look at immigration not as a good thing, but as a threat to U.S. security and to U.S. jobs. That has been the backdrop of all a president's narrative. And that affects every immigrant. It affects people, students who are trying to come in, and we know the number of foreign students has gone down considerably. It affects people who are high-skilled jobs in H-1B categories because they have to wait very long periods of time to move to a green card. It affects their spouses, which was a big change from Obama to this. The spouses of H-1B workers were almost always professionals themselves. We're given a special dispensation to be able to work. Mm-hmm. While their husbands were waiting. That has been taken away. So that whole swath of people, from family members, people in the professions, students, even entrepreneurs coming in, the message is America's welcoming mat is not as good as it used to be.
Well, and by the way, if the spouse doesn't come, then maybe the person who was brought in on an H-1B won't come either.
Exactly. So one of the great things about our immigration, frankly, has been is that we have welcomed family. We have been diverse in the number and in the types of people we pick. And that diversity, I think, is in jeopardy. We can't forget in this that we don't just need high-skilled people in this country. Our economy is hugely reliant on the need for medium-skilled and less-skilled people. And if there is one thing that is causing the dysfunction in our immigration system, is that we have very few options for legal immigration for people in mid and low skill. Because the laws of economic gravity work magically, that people come and take jobs that are available in the U.S. because either U.S. workers are not available or are not willing to take certain jobs. Those jobs are critical in our economy. But in the absence of legal avenues for people to come, they then use unauthorized channels, and that gives rise to the core of the unauthorized population in the U.S.
That is Muzaffar Chishti, who is an attorney and director of the Migration Policy Institute's office at New York University School of Law. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tomorrow we'll continue our series and hear from someone advising the Trump administration who believes that the U.S. should reduce levels of legal immigration.